Excuse me, mate, can you help us out, please? I just need like 50p, okay? Oh, no worries, okay? Have a nice day, mate. Excuse me, sir, could you possibly help me out? I just need like 50p.
I don't beg. Not normally. But ever since old Bill had stitched me up over Ash, I just couldn't get my energy going. And I was knackered this particular morning. I dossed down behind this building the night before. There was this place where a hot air vent kicked out some of this nice heat, so I made my bed up there. The feds were leaving me alone. They got what they wanted out of me as regards mental and the murder, and then they just dropped me. Like I said, you know where you are with old Bill. It had been months since they'd done all the arrests, but I still had my head down. David was inside, but mental was still on the run. Everywhere I look, I was still seeing him. I started to think about the future. And be honest, I couldn't see one. And you know what? That actually didn't bother me. So when I saw Donna out of her kids, I nearly just ignored her. They walked for ages in and out of all these kiddies' clothes shops. They sat in a cafe for ages, but in the end, they went home. And I followed them all the way. She was surprised to see me.
Donna!
Lexi! What are you doing here?
I was just going past and I saw you coming in. I didn't know you lived here.
Yeah, we've lived here for ages. So, how are you? I tried to find you, but no one knew where you were. The police said it all worked out.
Well, it's out for them.
I see. Where are you staying?
Oh, I've got somewhere. It's warm, it's all right.
Yeah, right. Look, I've got to cook the tea. Do you want to come in for a cuppa?
Nah, you're right.
I'm going out tonight, but you can stay for an hour or so before then.
You don't mind?
Come on.
She let me in, made me some tea, play with her kids, and I chilled for the first time in weeks. Turned out she wasn't going out. We talked a lot, and we got on to what I was going to do in my life. She said I should always remember that I had choices and options, that I shouldn't just roll over and go with the flow. It was all going well, till it started raining, hard. She knew I'd been lying when I said I got somewhere to live. We went on talking till we ran out of stuff to say. Then she got round to it.
I'm really tired, Lexi. I've got to go to bed. You're going to have to go.
Wait, can't I stay? Just one night. I'll stay on the settee and I'll shoot off in the morning as soon as it gets light.
Lexi, you know I can't do that. What about Chloe?
I don't want to see her.
Really? That's so sad.
Well, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hold on.
She writes down the name of a hostel and gave me 3 20s, and then I was back on the street. I sleep rough that night. Then I buy a coach ticket and I hit the road. I go up to Durham Prison. It's a long journey, hell of a long journey, and I have plenty of time to think. I started thinking about what Donna has said about choices, and I decided I didn't have so many really. I get off the bus and I queue up and I get searched, scanned, metal detected and all that malarkey. And finally, I get to sit in the same room as my big brother.
Lexi, how you doing, fella?
All right, wicked, wicked.
How'd you get all the way up here?
I got a limo. You okay?
Yeah, you know, just doing my time. Got any more stupid questions?
Well, what's the dinners like?
Ah, that's a stupid question, all right. What you been up to then?
Oh, this and that. I've been keeping my head down recently.
Hey, you're not planning on sticking around in Durham for long, are you?
Well, I don't know. Why?
It's better for me if you're down south.
Oh, right. Why?
Just stuff. You know, I'm keeping things going. So why didn't you bring me any ciggies, you plank?
There was something wrong. He was trying to be all cheerful, like he was happy, but I could tell he wasn't. He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't look at anyone. He was all jumpy. Then I saw this other prisoner come into the room, a big, heavy old man. He looked round the room, stared everyone out. No one took him on. You just couldn't help it. But I saw Ash. He didn't even try. Then I realised what was happening. He was so scared.
So you seen anyone lately?
I'm keeping out of the way of that gang I was with.
Just tell them you're my brother, that'll work.
Yeah. Okay, I might do that.
That's when I knew that Ash had lost it. And that I was growing up. Ash sitting there in his baggy shirt, trying to make out he was still the man. And all he was going to be doing for the next 12 years was watching his back and trying not to annoy the geezers up the pole from him.
You seen Declan at all?
Not me.
I was wondering what happened to him.
Don't know.
I did some asking round. Do you know it was him that told the feds about the warehouse? You know, he gave him my name.
I didn't know that.
Can you believe it? Declan.
I can't believe it, bro.
I cried when I found out.
I bet you did. I can't believe it myself.
Will you do me a favour?
Here we go. I watched him lean forward over the table. His eyes picked me up and wouldn't let me go. I knew that something really, really bad was coming at me.
I want you to do something for me.
Name it.
I've got to spend 12 years in here. That's not right. And it's Declan's fault. I want you to make it right.
I just stared at him. The way he looked so desperate. He didn't seem like the older one anymore.
I don't know, like 23 Dunmore Road.
Dunmore Road?
But that's where Chloe lives, I know. He's like 50 doors down. Do you want that? Next thing you know, he'll be around having cups of tea or more. I can't have that.
Just like Donna said, you get choices. This was one. Seeing him and taking away all our good times together, whatever I picked, it was going to end up going bad. In a flash, I saw my dad. You could never ever do anything right for him. Whatever you did, he'd knock you around for it. That was the way he sorted everything. I started wondering, was it just the way we lived, or was it in our blood?
What's the matter, Legsy? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, maybe.
Why? You scared? You don't have to worry about mental no more. They picked him up last week.
Well, how do you know?
You can find out anything in here.
Yeah, right.
Serious. Look, if you're scared about doing it, it's all right. I'll tell you
I'm not scared. I've seen stuff. I know what happens.
What then?
You can't ask me to do that. No one can ask you to do that.
He stole 12 years from me. Put it right, Legsy.
I stared at him and at all the people in the visiting room. The time was nearly over and the blokes in the uniforms were getting jumpy.
You do it, bro.
Nah, man. I'm not ending up in here like you. I'm not doing it.
What do you mean like you?
You didn't have to get into that warehouse thing. I don't have to get into this. See you later, Ash.
So I don't look at him no more. Mainly because I can't. I walk out the room and I walk out of prison. It started to rain. Of course it has. But that don't matter. I head back to the bus station and I gets on the bus back down south. I know I just made a real good call. First one for ages. That was something I could build on, no doubt about it. So I look out the window and I watch the cars. I start thinking about mental. That was good news from Ash, if it was true. And I reckon it could be. He was a real loser, that mental. So if it was safe to go back to Southampton, well then I started thinking about Chloe. The last year I've been hiding out, I hadn't seen her or her kiddies. When I get back to Southampton, I'll give her a call.
Legsy, where the hell have you been?
Well, that's not her being angry. Well, it is, but it's because she's been worried about me.
Are you in at the moment?
Why?
I'm back in Southampton. Can I come round and stay for a little while?
I haven't seen you for a year and then you want to move in.
Well, I'll bring some food. I've got a bit of money.
Yeah, well, that makes it all okay, don't it? It's okay, Legsy. I'll let you off worrying me sick for a year just now because you pitched up with a couple of wonky tenors. Alright, look. I was just cooking a chicken. Go and get me some extra spuds and you're in. And some pudding. Some nice pudding, though. None of that stuff with all the crap you used to like.
Got her off the phone in the end.
I walked down to the shops feeling okay. I had a big weight lifting off my mind. Mental. Inside. Well, probably. And staying for a while round at Chloe's. I'd have a fat roast dinner, watch some telly, get an early night. It all sounded pretty good to me.
I want my family back. And we're going to pause it there. We're just going to ask what is likely to happen yet next, because, I mean, that's where the drama ends for us. And it's hard to believe, really, that over the last 5 years we've charted Legacy from age 4 to age 17, and so much has happened to him in his young life. And I suppose the question about the future is, with that sort of past, is it possible to be positive and optimistic about the future? Hello, John. Thanks for joining us. Now, you've got an interesting story of perhaps someone who had a difficult upbringing and things have gone well for you, yeah?
Yes, I'd say that now, but it's taken a very long time. I went into institutions at 8 weeks old and basically spent the rest of my life up to my mid-40s, well, late-40s, in prisons, because the institutions were very much like the children's homes. But I'd really like to say to Legacy, you know, best of luck for the future, and it's great
that he's got
support around him like Donna, because my experience as a kid was I didn't really know who I was. I didn't have any clue about values, about anything. I stole, and because I didn't value anything that other people had, because I felt I didn't have anything of value that I owned myself. And people would tell me all the time, what you're doing is wrong. And yes, I heard the words, but it didn't touch me, because of the painful experiences of childhood, I'd built walls around me that were too high for me to get out and too thick for people to get in. But what you've done with Legacy and his story is brilliant, because William James said that we know people best when we understand their stories. And if you look into every person who's classed as a criminal, or no, not everybody, but the majority of people who are these 86-odd people, recidivists, who keep going back to prison, they don't understand their own stories, their own lives.
John, if you had one bit of advice for Legacy now, what would it be?
It sounds like a cliche, but very often when you're developing, you're going to take two steps back and one step forward very often, and you're going to have to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Because people would give you lots of advice, and very often I found myself, when people were giving advice, saying yes at the time, but not really believing or accepting what they were saying. So my advice is to understand your own story and the people that played the part in that story.
Okay.
And I hope that sometime in the future, although it seems that you've made a decision to distance yourself from members of your family or a member of your family, I think as you grow stronger, more mature, more sure of yourself, where you're going, what you're doing, you'll be strong enough to reconnect with your brother, because I know at the moment it might be the sensible, safe thing to do, but at some point in the future you'll be strong enough to have the relationship with your brother and the rest of your family that you really want.
Okay, John, that's really good. Thank you for that. Does that sort of ring true for you, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what he was saying about, you know, like, Donna's got my back as well, you know, so she cannot help me out with stuff. So that's good.
Yeah, and of course, there are members of your family that you are clinging to now, you know.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I'm like, Chloe, you know, I'm staying around hers. We're, like, living together now. I'm, like, paying her back and, like, helping her back, looking after her kids and stuff.
Now, John was making the point that Donna, you're around for him, but actually,
right.
Personally, I mean, it doesn't your sort of stay with someone of Legacy's age end?
Yeah, because I am a youth worker, once he turns 18, I won't be personally involved in Legacy's sort of case anymore. He won't be one of my clients, but it doesn't mean to say that he'll just be abandoned. Like I said before, there are programs, there are schemes, there are lots of different agencies that are there if he wants the help.
This is an email that came in yesterday when we were talking about the way that the police interact, but I think it's interesting to think about how some people might react to you, Legacy. And this is comes from Mike, who says, I think we should get all criminals off the street, but within the law. That's referring to yesterday's programme. He said, I was listening to a do-gooder on your show earlier in the week who said it doesn't help to put criminals inside as it makes it worse for them in the future. Well, that might be good for the criminals, but you are taking risks with the general public, and that can't be right. I say get all criminals off the streets, and I include everyone from graffitiists, drunks, disorderlies. If you want to try and sort them out, then fine, but do it away from the public. Donna, what do you, as a professional working in the area, what do you make of that?
To be honest, that kind of attitude just is what makes me feel just really defeated. You know, it's a very, very short-term, oversimplistic view. If we're looking at reoffending rates, as I said, they're over 86%. So you're not actually protecting the public. You're creating more criminal, illegal behaviour, actually. You know, you have to look at these things in the long term. That, I don't find that kind of thing very helpful.
Lexi, do you feel that there is a chance that things aren't going to go well, that you might stay at the wrong side of the law?
Well, you're like asking me two things there, because you're saying like things are going to go well. Well, like, from the law, I'm going to try my hardest not to get back into like the wrong side, yeah. But then if things are going to go well, people have got to give me a chance. And like, this bloke, what, I don't know what he is chatting about. Like, seriously, like, graffiti, like, yeah, let's lock up everyone. Yeah, that's a good thing to do. But like, I bet you, like, if he's listening now, I bet you've done something wrong, mate. Bet you stole like sweets from a sweet shop when you were a kid. He locked you up, mate. Just flip a neck. Give me a chance.
Okay. We recorded the story of Legsy at the Rope Tackle Centre at Shoreham, and so we got some questions from there now, which might cover some other ground. It might be useful. Let's have a listen to some of this.
You're going to have a hard time because you've got no education. Surely you've got to go back to start school again to get some qualifications to go out into industry or work.
Any plans for that?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. I've obviously not like had the greatest school like education.
What job would you like to do?
I don't know. I don't want to be stacking shelves my whole life, man. Like, really, I really don't want to be doing that.
Donna, this is quite a big point, this, isn't it? Because one of the problems will be, with a background like that, how likely is it that Legs is going to actually get a job, be given a chance?
Well, that is a big problem, the fact that he might not be given a chance, because I really think that, you know, people's attitudes towards him are going to be one of the major obstacles. And, you know, I can work with Legsy on, you know, him sort of getting over that. But it's very difficult, you know, if you think about it, if you're a young person and you're constantly met with hostility because of the way you speak or the way you look or people know something about your background, it's a challenge really not to react in a hostile way. And I mean, you know, you shouldn't do that, Lexi.
Yeah,
but it's difficult for them, I have to say.
Have another question for the floor.
I think if he can stay with his sister, then he's going to have something he hasn't had since he's six, and that's a family. And I think if he has a family structure around him, then that can support him. And I also think from his portrayal tonight, he's got the character to see it through and to make it work for himself.
Well, that's quite an optimistic one. Here's another.
I think he's got a good chance for a good future of making changes and changing his life around. I think we're all responsible for helping him. It's not just people doing their jobs. It's everybody, like the neighbours, you know, we're all responsible. It's not about sending them somewhere else and deal with somebody else's problem and giving money. Every single person is responsible for helping troubled kids.
So, optimistic thoughts there.
Right.
And Donna, as you say, you're optimistic about
it.
I know, you know, that you said earlier that it'd be great if there was a bit more money to help Legsy from here on. But with the people around you, I suppose ultimately we just got to say good luck, Legsy, and thanks very much indeed for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, I just got to take it one day at a time, you know. I mean, I got someone looking after me, I got my family around me, roof over my head. I just got to like work a bit on my temper, maybe. Donna can help me with that. So,
Legsy, you know. Donna, thanks very much.
Well, it is hard to believe Legsy's still only 17 in this drama, and all these things could have happened in one young life because, through our research making this drama, they all did. And the question we're going to tackle today is the future of Legsy. He's about to turn 18, enter adulthood. He has a clean slate as far as the police and the authorities are concerned. But what now? Is it possible to get Legsy back into society, integrated in a sort of normal life, I wonder? Joining us, Legsy and his social worker, Donna. Remember, these are the actors staying in character now as they take questions from the team. So good morning to Legsy and Donna. Morning, you two.
Morning.
Lovely to have you there. And let's go for it. Kevin, your question.
Yeah, well, a simple one to Legsy. What do you think the future holds then?
I don't know, man. Just You know, I got a roof over my head now because of Chloe and that. So just, you know, keep my head down, maybe try and find a job.
That's interesting. Who would give Lexi a job? Jeff?
What does that mean, man?
That means in my language school, your pronunciation isn't wouldn't fit for my students. So I would have to say no. I wouldn't give you a job.
Well, Julian, as you know, in my other life, I am actually an employer. Yes. What's difficult is, I mean, you want to help somebody like Lexi. The problem is, you've got to think about everybody else around in a company. Right. How things would impact on them as well. So you'd have to consult everybody else or think about everybody else.
Isn't that just an excuse, though, Kev?
No, it's a big consideration, don't you think, Lexi?
Lexi? Well,
what do you mean?
Not only do I have to think, well, would somebody have to think about your situation and want to help you, but you'd have to think, you know, in a company that's quite close or small, how your situation and the way you've been affected by events, how that would impact on other people.
Gosh, my goodness, you got half an hour. Right, Penny.
Yeah, but you've got to give me a chance, man. It's like you're judging me before you've even, like, seen what I can do. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. No, I understand that.
Okay. Well, you obviously don't.
Penny, your question for Lexi.
It's a difficult question, this one, because we don't actually know what skills Lexi has, what sort of job he'd be after, what he would be able to do. So I'd like to think that I would offer him a job, but I'd need to know a little bit more about him first of all.
So, Donna, what sort of support is available for someone like Lexi?
There is lots of support available for Lexi. You know, we can set him up with various agencies, like in Brighton we work with Connections, who can actually, you know, help him to get a job.
If I can come in for a second, just listening to Lexi's attitude to Kevin's points, I don't think I would employ him because
listen to his attitude to me, man.
Lexi, come on. A fair point.
I was just trying to be sympathetic.
Like
really.
Yeah, but Kevin, do find it slightly. But the thing is, I have to say that the major obstacles that Lexi is going to face really are the attitudes of people towards him, you know? So, and is it surprising really that he reacts like that if he's faced with it on a daily basis?
But he does have to deal with real life, doesn't he? And those are the sort of attitudes that he's going to get. So he's going to have to learn somewhere along the line to deal with that.
Yeah, because he might get a
not
boss
aggressively.
Like... Because Lexi, you might land up with a boss like Kevin. And you'd have to handle it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm working on it with Donna.
Okay,
you know, good. I'm
right.
Trying.
Okay. Judy, your question, please.
Yeah, Donna, would you want Lexi and the rest of the Ryans moving in next to you?
Yeah, I'd have no problem with Lexi and his family. I know Lexi and I know the rest of his family.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would have absolutely no problem with it.
And is it possible for someone like Lexi really to have dreams and aspirations when you've got someone like Kevin particularly going?
Remember, this is just a radio drama, boys and girls.
What a nasty man you are, Kevin.
Donna?
I mean, I don't know. This is, to be honest, I feel, this is what makes me feel slightly defeated. I have to say, I don't know what someone like Lexi is. You know, I look at each of my clients as individuals. You know, you sort of, I feel like they've herded into the sort of mass of people and they're judged in a certain way. And he's an individual like you or me.
Sure.
Okay. Jeff, your question.
Have you learned anything from the whole experience, Lexi, this last sort of year or so when things have gone from bad to worse and then it looks like things are getting better again for you?
Well, yeah, of course. I've learned loads of things, but it's just, are any of those things going to be useful to me from now on? It's like I've learned to keep my head down. I've learned to keep my mouth shut. I've learned how to handle myself around certain people. Do you know what I mean? But am I going to be able to use those things in your kind of life? I don't know.
Interesting. Great stuff.
Thanks.
Great stuff.
I've enjoyed it.
Should we give them a round?
Yeah. Tremendous. Very good.
And lessons for everybody listening, I think.
Yeah, and lessons for everyone listening. Yeah. You're so right. Let's bring in the director of the production and the two actors who, of course, played Lexi and Donna. It's welcome to John Potter. And, hello for the first time, in a way, for me, to Isaac and Daisy. Hello.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Now, first up, let's go. John, very quickly, you must be delighted because it's been quite a rollercoaster this week, hasn't it?
It has, yes. I mean, from our point of view, it's gone great. I've been quite moved by how well it's gone. We've obviously had a heavy responsibility to the young people we've worked with to get it right, and I think we have.
Yeah, good for you. I thought, Isaac, you and Kevin were going to land up having a row there just before 8 o'clock.
He annoyed me. What can I say?
Yeah, no, that, well, that's part of it. And I suppose Isaac and Daisy, because I met you when we did this in the theatre as well, is that people have preordained views about characters, about Legsy, and I suppose part of this was to actually sort of look into that and make us address how we feel as outsiders looking into Legsy's story.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you changed your view about a character like Legsy, just playing him, Isaac?
Yeah, because everyone has, as you say, sort of views that they think they have beforehand. But when you, I've learned a lot by doing this. I've learned a lot about people's backgrounds and just all the facts and figures that have come out from this. It's incredible.
Yeah. And Daisy, for you, just to say, very convincing social worker.
Thank you.
The thing that a lot of people are asking me is backstory, because obviously when you're in a soap opera or a drama, you have the words written by the writer. In this example, well, once your bit of drama's gone out, you then have to ad-lib, basically. I mean, is that tough?
It can be challenging, yeah. I mean, I had a lot of help from a wonderful woman called Jo Bates, who works with the youth offending team in Brighton. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm sort of represent her views on absolutely everything, but she was a great inspiration to me.
Isaac, were you ever worried that we'd ask you a question and then you wouldn't have the backstory to fill up the question? Because, I mean, that is what, it must be quite scary doing this.
Yeah, I guess, but in the heat of the moment when you're doing it, you're very, it sounds like you are very much in the character. I mean, yeah. Then was a sort of, that was a perfect example where I snapped.
Yeah, I know.
Because I got angry.
Yeah.
And so when you're in, you're very much in the character like that, it's quite easy to just think, actually, what would they say and what would they do in those situations? So it becomes easier as you get more involved. There's lots of research gone into this. There's lots and lots of research gone into this. And I was able to take lots of the original material that they took from the work with the young offenders. Lots of the original tapes, and listen to those, find out how they talk, their inflections, their accents, and lots of their different views. So that was really helpful.
Well, look, well done to both of you. John, final word to you, and a credit to the actors. But let's be frank, at the end of the day, and I met one of them, a young lad called Carl at the Point in Eastleigh, it was one of the people who inspired these stories. And an amazing young man who's turned his life around, who's you know, learning new skills to get himself into a good job and so on. They're the people we should talk about this morning, aren't they, John?
Yes, they are, absolutely. And we mustn't sort of overestimate their prospects either. I mean, you know, it's very hard. I mean, and I think there's a lot of bravery amongst young people. I think a lot of them are doing really well. But
tough because, you know, Kevin and Jeff's view it was what they felt in a way, which is that if, you know, someone like Legsy came in and was really difficult and spiky in the workplace, that makes it really tricky, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, the character of Donna and the social workers, you know, across the country will be working with young people to, you know, to gradually get them used to those kinds of situations and get them used to, you know, controlling their temper and being able to, you know, play the right game to get on.
Yeah. Well, look, John, thank you very much. Lovely to have you on the show again today. And thank you to Isaac and to Daisy and to Legsy and Donna. Good stuff. Good to have you on the show. All the best.
Thank you.
We would also like to thank the company Paradiso, the theatre company, which has been working with us to make Legsy Gets a Break. And we'd also like to thank all the cast, including Isaac and Daisy, the actors who've been with us today. But we'd like to thank the writer Phil Gladwin. And most importantly, we'd like to thank all those young people who worked with us on the project and shared their stories with us, and the professionals who worked so hard to help turn their lives around. OK, Sarah Gorrell's next after the news.